Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're doing a video episode today, if you couldn't guess already. Joining me is Alex Sherlock. You may know him from Twitter as at Shirley Tebow. That's S-H-E-R-L-Y underscore Tebow, like Tim Tebow. He has a visual look at the Ravens' potential playoff scenarios. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Great stuff. I saw this right away. I said that Ravens fans need to see this thing to understand the way this is logically laid out. And a lot of us get our playoff scenario information sometimes from the NFL, and they'll say what a team needs in addition to an Indianapolis loss and an LA Chargers win and this kind of thing. But we're excited this week. Big win on Saturday, huge loss for the Steelers on Sunday, which they are reeling from. Now we look ahead to the Sunday night game against the Steelers and all kinds of potential playoff implications for the Ravens. Obviously, they're the win and they're in. But then it's a matter of who do they play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've done a lot of work here that basically is laid out like a logic truth table. Anybody who took, you know, logic one or philosophy 101 or 105 or whatever it might be at the school you went is familiar with logic, and you know truth tables being laid out this way. They're in mathematics too. But basically laying out all the 16 possible combinations of the other games that are not the Ravens game. The Ravens game, you'll notice in that first column, is all Ravens winning.
That's what we're rooting for.
Okay. So at some point, pick up the explanation at any point you want, Alex. I like the strong silence type. You're providing great information here, but this is also your data you're providing. So I've got to open you and lead you into this. So take me through columns 2 through 5 and what I'm looking at.
Yeah, so basically there's 4 other games besides the Ravens game that will really, you know, if the Ravens are able to take down the Steelers Sunday night, you know, these 4 games will determine who they play. We have the Chargers at the Broncos. Broncos are playing their starters. The Chargers aren't. We have Colts, Texans, Titans, Jaguars, and the Jets at the Bills. You know, everybody's fighting for different seating right now. And pretty much Ravens have the potential to play any of them. Some teams it's more likely than others. But pretty much, you know, based on my chart I have here, and then, you kind of follow through it. And then at the very end, you'll see a wild card matchup, and that's who the Ravens would play if all those games go that way.
Okay. So I've seen so far that Houston is the team the Ravens are most likely to play according to gambling markets. At about 69% was the last number I saw. Take us through why that would likely happen.
You have the Texans this week. They're playing the Colts, who they are not starting Phillip Rivers this week. I believe it's Riley Leonard. You have the, like I said, you know, the Chargers aren't playing their starters this week. They're resting up for the playoffs. You have the Jaguars, who are playing the Titans. You know, they're fighting to win their division, host a playoff game. I don't see any reason why the Titans would upset them. And then same with the Bills and the Jets. Bills were eliminated from winning the AFC East last week, but I believe I don't think they've announced that they're not playing starters at this point. So I would assume that should be a win for the Bills. So I think that's kind of where the betting market is looking right now. So if all those, you know, fall out with the favorites, it would be the Houston Texans going to Baltimore next week.
Okay, that's important to know. And the Bills, I would think, would be playing for seeding, even if they're not playing for a division title. So they the difference between a 5-6 and a 7 seed could still be pretty important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And with the Texans, Chargers, and Bills, they can finish in any of those 5, 6, 7 spots. And then Texans, they can even move up to 3 and then have the Jaguars drop down to 5, 6, or 7 as well. So there's a lot of moving that can happen between now and the end of Sunday. I'm excited to see it all play out.
Okay. So what's the most important game for the Ravens in terms of, I'm assuming the Houston is the favorite the way you've laid it out already. If the favorites all win, Houston is it. What's the most important game to break out of Houston playing the Ravens? I assume it'll be Houston and Indianapolis at Houston, right? To have that game flip.
Yes.
Maybe a lot less likely, but tell us what happens in the case that game gets flipped.
Yeah, well, the one advantage that Houston has is they have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Chargers and the Buffalo Bills. So in any scenario where it's just them and, you know, both of them or them one-on-one, they're taking out that team. So, yeah, really the only way that they wouldn't be playing Baltimore is, you know, they fall to the Colts, then, you know, they would have to hope that, you know, the Bills or Chargers win their games. I would say it's pretty unlikely that the Chargers win theirs, just because they're not playing starters. You know, if the Texans can win their game, you know, then we would want to see the Titans upset the Jaguars. It's possible. I just don't see it happening. But in that case, all of a sudden Texans are up in a 3 seed. Jaguars would fall down. And, you know, depending on the tiebreakers there, we could see the Jacksonville Jaguars going to Baltimore. I would agree with you. Texans Colts would be the biggest game.
Okay. So if Indianapolis does beat Houston, no, there's okay. Some of the other way Houston, if Houston wins and Tennessee beats the Jaguars, then the Jacks will fall into the 5 seed and would be coming to Baltimore. That's a significant possibility, or it's a possibility. And if they, either way, there's two places on this chart where that happens. Actually, there's four, because there's also lines 5, 8. 12 and 16, right? Are all Jacks lost? Or no. I've got it wrong here. Line 5 is 1, and line 1, 5, 9, and 13 all have Jacks losing that game to Tennessee. But in one of those, they end up with the Chargers as the 5 seed because the Chargers win their game. And in the second one, they end up with Jacksonville. And the third one, they end up with Houston anyway, because every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove. Houston also loses to Indianapolis. And in the fourth one, they end up with Jacksonville at home. Okay, so they've got multiple ways, multiple paths they could get to a Jacksonville game in Baltimore. And those also included a Chargers and a Houston game in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Now, I did have to ask you about this because it's so cool. A strength of victory would come into play in one of these scenarios. And by the way, that's the fifth thing down after
number six.
Tell us what strength of victory is for starters.
So strength of victory, that's the basically the winning percentage of every team that you have beaten this season. So, you know, every team that for the Ravens, everyone that they've beaten this year, their winning percentage, whatever that is, that's the strength of victory. So it's just kind of the average between everyone. Yeah, that scenario it's very messy. I will say it's more likely than not that the Jaguars would win that strength of victory scenario. That's because they already have, it's a 0.005. Yeah, I have it at the bottom here. It's a 0.005% lead over the LA Chargers. There are 7 or 8 games, mostly NFC games, that would actually affect the strength of victory value. I have them listed out here, but it would take a lot to flip that.
Okay, I'm actually a little bit surprised because I looked at 0.005 and I thought, oh, that might be one game difference in terms of the season. But maybe is there a tie involved for either team? Because I know there was one tie. So if those two teams are in the divisions that these guys played in the NFC, then you'd end up with at least something that couldn't end up exactly tied.
Yeah. Let me see. Not here. Important. The tie was the Packers and Cowboys. Both the games that the Packers and Cowboys play this week would play into the Chargers' strength of victory percentage. The Chargers would want the Cowboys and they would want the Cowboys to upset or not upset the Cowboys to beat the Giants, and they would want the Vikings to take down the Packers. I feel like both of those have a good chance of happening. That would up their strength of victory value by 0.006.
Okay, roughly.
And then at the same time, the Jaguars, those games don't play into their value. They're looking at the Cardinals-Rams game, Seahawks 49ers, and Panthers-Bucks, which I believe the favorites in most of those games would help them. So that's why I was saying it's going to be hard to flip it.
Okay. All right. Outstanding stuff here. This is a really cool way to look at it. I made a point on this show that when you're doing any kind of analysis, it's always really nice when you do universal analysis. You look at every potential outcome and look at this kind of thing. And I appreciate you clarifying it in chart form, but it does two things for the viewer. It not only does it give the information under each possible scenario, which you can't do any better than that. It confirms to them mentally that you've checked every potential outcome. Mm-hmm. Now, you did mention it could fall to strength of schedule. I guess that would have to be in a tie in number six where there was a strength of victory tie. That's the only way that could happen, right?
Yeah, and honestly, there's no guarantee that it can fall to that scenario. It would definitely have to involve a tie if it was there. I don't think it is there. But the Jaguars do have a pretty significant, I think it's like 0.03% lead, which, I mean, that is pretty significant. So, or the Jaguars have that lead. So yeah, I think it would be hard to flip that to the Chargers anyway.
Okay. All right. So very interesting stuff. I think Ravens fans might well be hoping that they don't get Stroud and that Houston defense. What's your own hope for the Ravens in terms of who they get to play? If they're in.
Yeah, if they make it in, I definitely would not want to play that Texans defense either. You know, they had a field day against the Ravens earlier this season. Granted, that was the game where they started Cooper Rush. I would trust Lamar or Huntley if it was to come to that. To give us a better chance against the Houston Texans. But out of the four teams that the Ravens could play, I would say the Texans are probably my least preferred team to play.
Yeah, that's where I am as well. I probably prefer them playing the Chargers above the other teams. Mm-hmm. Would be fine if they played Jacksonville. And frankly, I'd love to give a little punch in the mouth to the Buffalo team here in Baltimore after having to play a couple playoff games there over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they've always played the Bills well. We had the playoff game last year. I like the game plan that we had. It's just, you know, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot with the fumbles, the drops, mm-hmm. Bad snaps, kind of everything going on there. I feel like that's kind of the Ravens' way right now, is they are their own worst enemy. So I like their chances against the Bills. The Bills, you know, really haven't had an answer for Derrick Henry. I like the Ravens against the Chargers. That'd probably be my preferred choice. I also like them against the Jags as well. So really anyone but the Texans would be my preference.
All right. Well, the Ravens have faced that Texans team in the playoffs in the 2011 divisional round, and they faced him in the 23 divisional round as well, right? That got them to the AFC Championship. In 24, did they face them in the wild card round?
It was I think it was the Christmas game.
The Christmas game, right? The 31-2 win. Okay, yeah. That's right. That was it. So that gives us a little bit of hope that they can beat that Houston team. Mm-hmm. All right, Alex, a pleasure talking about this with you. Thank you for bringing such a very complete picture of this. Let's hope that very first column or the second column turns out purple here in this game, because that's what we need above all else.
Hey, I really hope so.
Tell folks where they can contact you online if they have a question about tiebreakers or football in general.
Yeah, of course. You know, there's my, you know, I'm on my Twitter account a lot. So Shirley underscore Tebow, S-H-E-R-L-Y underscore T-E-B-O-W. Also, my email, alex.sherlock15@gmail.com. You know, both of those are great ways to reach out to me if you have any questions.
All right. Outstanding stuff. Other folks out there, if you have a question you'd like to get to, hashtag film study mailbag, please use it, and we can have that on the appropriate show, or I'll put it on a 1 to 3 minute video. We'd love to feature that. Alex, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Studies.